Does God still speak? And you may think that's an obvious answer, but, you know, not everybody agrees on that, actually. You know, there's some that would say, well, you know, the Old Testament was written and then closed, and then Jesus came, and then there's the New Testament, and it was canonized, and then on the last page of Revelation, there's a period, and God has done speaking. He has said everything he wants to say. But in my heart of hearts, that's a tragic place to have to understand and know God, because he is relational. And so this morning we're looking at what does it mean for him to speak and what's the purpose of his whispers. And if there's nothing else, I think one of the distinguishing marks or things about God, the Christian God, compared to other religions, is the Christian God is relational. He desires to commune with us, to be a part of life with us. And where there's a relationship, there should be a conversation once in a while. And so God is wanting to speak to us, and Jesus made it clear in John 10 when he said, John 10, and we'll read verses 2 through 4, he's telling giving a picture, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So throughout the Old and New Testament, there's this idea that God is speaking, and he is still speaking because we are his sheep, and we need to learn to hear his voice. And I was kind of, this was something on my heart. We've been going through something this year called The Story. And I told you before I left on vacation that there was part of the story of Elijah that really struck me, and I wanted to speak deeper into it, even though we looked at his calling that's upon all of us to be people that have a turnaround ministry. We help turn people around to God. And there's something very beautiful in the description of what God's voice sounded like to him. And this week, Jill and I were meeting with a young couple for lunch, and the young man, and they're engaged, and he was asking about, so how did you know to become a pastor? And I just reflected on that, and it's like, yeah, you know, how does that come? Did it come, you know, application in the mail? Well, no, not really. And I was working electronics in a whole nother career in a whole nother state and a whole nother decade, and I realized, you know, that's probably a question a lot of us have is, you know, well, how did you know? How did you hear God? You know, because he is speaking and he's leading us into things, sometimes new things, and he's trying to guide us like a shepherd with his sheep. And so I kind of reflected on that a little bit, and I think even Psalm 23 speaks of that. Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So there's this shepherd that's leading, and he hasn't stopped, and he's still speaking. And yes, we'll talk about how the scripture is God's, you know, primary way of speaking truth in our hearts, but even in the New Testament. And since the disciples of those pages and to today, there are men and women in history that have amazing stories of God whispering to them. So first, the purpose of a God whisper. And you know, in John 10, it's a beautiful chapter. And in verse 10 of John 10, it says, the thief comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So there is voices out there. And there are, when the thief is the enemy of God, and primarily is Satan himself. So there are voices speaking into the lives of even non-believers, trying to lead them into things that will result in theft of things that God has for them, and lives that take away from others, and destruction of relationships. But Jesus came for abundance in our lives, that we may have it. And I think part of that is hinged upon hearing his voice. And so the purpose is God is speaking to build a relationship with you and me. He's speaking for our benefit like no other can speak. And as I was reflecting on this, I think there are things that the Lord, he whispers into our lives because there's things he wants to take from us. Things like, you know, like, oh, I thought the thief took things away. Well, there's a different kind of taking. There's things that God wants to take away from us, like wrong attitudes, addictions, and sins. There's burdens we carry that he doesn't want us to carry and fears he wants to remove. And there's prisons we find ourselves in inside our hearts that he wants to burst open those doors and get us free. Amen? So just as there are things he wants to take from us, there are things he wants to give us, like forgiveness. He's wanting to give us freedom in his spirit, not captivity like the enemy would. There's the fruit of the spirit he wants to give us into our lives so we are transformed into men and women, young and old, starting young and hopefully getting better as we get old, of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are awesome character traits that I'm still working on trying to receive more of myself. Don't got it down, but I know who I'm listening to these days, which used to not be the case when I was in a young man listening to the voice of the world of what success looks like, what fame looks like, what money looks like, right? And so I needed someone to take me from that and take me into new things. What about you? But just as there are things he wants to give you, there are things he wants to teach you and me. There's things he wants to teach you about himself. There's things he wants you to know about yourself that you won't know without him. Am I talking in circles, or is this making sense? So there's things he wants to teach us, but there's also places he wants to take us. And that's the coolest part about his voice. If we hear it, the shepherd will lead us into greater things than we could ever imagine. I'm not talking about greatness as in fame and notoriety. I'm talking about a life that has purpose and meaning that goes on into eternity. There's things that God wants to do with you, places he's wanting to take you that are significant, that are life-changing for yourself and others too. But above all, he wants to be your companion in your everyday journeys. He wants to be the shepherd that leads you in ways that will bring glory, according to Psalm 23, to his name. So we live our lives following a shepherd for something more glorious than we could create for ourselves. But it certainly can be hard to hear. So life in the everyday is meant to be lived ultimately in the presence of God, hearing and following his whispers. But it can be hard to hear. I'm glad we have the kids here this morning, because there's a couple things too that I just want them to know. But I was reminded of a story, because we have kids with us this morning, of a 5-year-old Barbara who had disobeyed her mom, and she wrote that she had disobeyed me and I sent Barbara to her room. And after a few minutes, I went in to talk to her about what she had done, and teary-eyed, she asked, "Why do we do wrong things, Mommy?" "Sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong," I replied, "and we listen to him, and we need to listen to God instead, Barbara." To which she sobbed, "But God doesn't talk loud enough." Doesn't it feel that way for us too? Like, man, these other voices I hear are a lot louder than God's. But that's kind of what this message is about. It's a lifelong journey that I don't have nailed, but it's one down, but it's one I'm trying to work on myself. So what I want you to see real quick, okay, now, in John 10, this is what I had never seen before. Oh, a God whisper. While I was reading this, it says in verse, "To him the gatekeeper opens the sheep hear his voice," and then listen to this, "and Jesus calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That's very personal. He's not a shepherd into this for the profit. He's into it for the relationship. And he knows each one of you by name. He knows them by name and calls them out into different things. Okay, now hold that thought and now turn to the Old Testament and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And so you turn way past the middle of your Bible to the left, past Psalms and past Chronicles, but before you get to all the Genesis, Exodus stuff and Samuel, and it comes after that. So turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 19. And this is where I left us off, but I want you to notice something. We're going to read this short passage, and it gives us clues to the voice of God. Verse 9, chapter 19. Then Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it. And by the way, we covered this last time, but Elijah is in a place of despair, actual depression. It took an angel to make him eat something because he was living under a broom tree. He feels like a failure. The things he thought in following God didn't work out as he expected. He's disappointed, and he's actually comparing himself to others. Those are all recipes for spiritual depression, all right? And he's in it. So now God's going to come and kick some butt. No, we're going to see something very different than that. Verse 9, then Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God called him by name. He didn't say, what are you doing here, whoever you are? I know you're one of my prophets, but get back to work, dude. No, he comes to him so gently. By name, he calls Elijah. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left. They seek my life to take it away. And there's nuggets of truth, but this wasn't even all really true. There was a huge revival among the people, and it wasn't the nation trying to kill him. It was one woman, Jezebel, who was trying to do him in. So you tend to lose perspective in moments, you know, and you need God to come into those places. You need to enter into his presence. And so God had sent Elijah to meet him on a mountain because God wouldn't meet him under a broom tree of depression. So if you're in a really dark place and you're going, and I'm not changing anything, I'm going to think the same, and I want you, God, to come and speak to my life, he won't do it. You got to dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and metaphorically climb a mountain, put some worship music on, get quiet, whatever it takes, in your favorite spot, and you meet with the Lord to hear what he wants to say because he's not into that. He thinks too much of you to leave you in that place. Amen. And so, verse 11, and he said, Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, tore the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. God whispered to me, I know where this is. I've been there. This is California. Earthquakes and fire, I was just there. This was California, God's country. Amen, all right, that's great. But then listen to this, in verse 12, we'll pick it up there. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then he repeats his pitiful prayer of despair. But what's so cool is in God's gentleness and God's whisper, do you know that's exactly what Elijah needed, is to know that he is still in the presence of God. that God is gentle and has more for him. And God does. He calls him into next things, even though Elijah is a little bit stuck in his heart. He'll come out of it. But he needed to hear a whisper from his Lord. All it took was a whisper. And understand, Elijah was this great prophet. Matter of fact, he was the prophet that got chosen to meet Jesus with Moses at the transfiguration on the mountaintop with Jesus' disciples. So he held a very honored role, but this is encouragement to you and me that he was just an ordinary man with his ups and downs. But he had learned to hear the whispers of God. I don't know if the kids know the story of Samuel. Do any of the kids remember the story of Samuel when he was just a little kid, maybe 7 or 8, and he was in the temple, and God said, Samuel. And do you know what God's voice sounded like? And this is for adults too. What did God's voice sound like to that little boy? He mistook it for who? Eli. And Eli, if you read the story in 1 Samuel, was an old man. His eyesight was going, and he was sleeping in another room. So now picture yourself. Samuel was a little boy in the altar, in the holy place, sleeping. And imagine what an old man's whisper sounds like from another room. That's how God speaks to you. So let me ask, how do you think you're supposed to be hearing God? A shout all the time? You wait until he's shouting at you? Jesus says we are his friend. You get to your friends, and do they sit across the table from you and yell at you in the restaurant? No. Well, okay, maybe some do. I don't know. But no, but they don't. He whispers to us, and we have to tune our ears to his whispers. And so I have a challenge for you. When you read the Old Testament and even the things in the New Testament that men and women are hearing, your assumption is what? What kind of voice is it? An audible voice. You know, the kind you can hear with your physical ears. But what if all these amazing words that have come to us, most of them were coming in whispers that were being received by men and women that had ears to hear? And all of a sudden, you don't feel like you're the outsider, but it's like, oh, okay. Now, some people, I've never heard an audible voice from God. Maybe a few have. I think some in this church have. But I absolutely have heard God's voice in his whispers and promptings, and his voice comes in many, many different ways to us because God is not physical but spiritual. So he doesn't speak with physical vocal cords, though he can and has, but he whispers to us. So how do you know? And what's so cool, and by the way, let me just say the purpose of it too. Here, you know, when I was on vacation, I was just rereading the story of Elijah. And it's like when I looked at it differently, when I looked at his life and said, he's not just shouts, but what if they're nudges? What if they're whispers? What if they're promptings of the Spirit, right? And it begins in chapter 17. Elijah just shows up on the scene. We have no background, no history to him, but God gives him a message to speak to King Ahab. So he's given a message, and it's not a really positive one, but here's the thing is, God could trust his words in a man who would deliver the words. But what's neat about it is then it says in 1 Kings 17, 2, and the word of the Lord came to him, depart from here and turn east and go hide yourself. The great God, sovereign God, never seems to work quite in the means you would think he is. It's like, well, God who can create all this, God who could destroy a nation, he could, you know, dink a star and send it into another orbit if he wanted to, can't stop, you know, a king who wants to kill him. But for some reason, God chose to take him into a place of hiding along a river. And in that place, Elijah followed his whisper, and he sent ravens to bring meat, and he was able to drink water from the brook. And my first thought is, where have those beaks been? That I'm going to eat the meat that's been in their beak, right? None of you think that way. I'm just like, wow, that sounds kind of gross. But I guess if you're hungry enough. But God provided. And Elijah learned to trust the Lord with the whisper. That was a time of, can I trust God? Will he be faithful? Will he protect me? Will he provide for me? And there was a deepening, I believe, Elijah's character and faith in God. And then in verse 8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him again, another whisper, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow to feed you. By the way, in my studying of that, Zarephath was the heartland of Baal worship. So God was sending him deep, deep, deep into the enemy's territory to find his provision and protection. But this time, this whisper led to a blessing. And we tend to only know the big story of Elijah taking on a contest of the gods, the 400 Baals, or prophets of Baal. And no, not bales of hay, the bales of prophet. And, prophets of Baal. See, now I'm getting all mixed up. But he takes them on, and God wins the contest. But we forget some of the most dramatic things he did in listening to God's whispers was minister to a widow and her son. And what's cool about this is God says, see, I commanded a widow. He shows up. Well, she didn't seem to get the email. And so she didn't know about she had been commanded it. But Elijah listens to every prompting, says each little thing, and pretty soon God uses Elijah to save a starving widow and son. And what's so cool about this is she had a household, too, that was depending on her, and they got to eat, too. And I bet they were pagans on top of it because God loves the world. And so a whisper turns into a blessing, which turns into salvation for others. And then he raises, yeah, amen. Yeah, it's like, and then a widowed son's die and he raises him. So I just want you to hear is whispers can lead to amazingly cool things. But just think if he wasn't willing to listen or he didn't know how to hear. And that kind of leads me into the second point this morning. How to know if it is a God whisper. Because, man, you know, there's a lot of pastors that never preach on hearing God because things just can get weird. All of a sudden, everyone's thinking, God spoke to me. God said, thus says the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, things get really strange and scary. But you know what? That's the worst thing to do is not speak on it. That's why every once in a while I want to speak on hearing God's voice. I've did a whole series of five-week series on this because why would I want you left out on this? Why would I want you to think I'm the only one that's hearing the whisper of God? There's too much God's wanting to do through New Crossing Church, and it needs everybody listening for the whispers. And yeah, you know, there needs to be training because if all I said is God does speak, I don't know, you and I might start doing crazy stuff if we don't run it through some kind of filter. And so when I've talked on this before, you know, I called it, you know, the kind of the four assurances, but a book I happened to pick up happened because I was already committed to speaking on this and came across through listening to a CD, a reference to a book called The Power of a Whisper by Bill Hybels. And so I picked that up too, and he calls it the filter. So you can think of it as either four assurances or filters. Like, okay, I got a nudge. I'm not sure, you know, because you have to start like a kid. It's like children, when they're born, don't speak your language. They can't understand you. And so they just yell at you a lot to get your attention and cry. But we don't want to, you know, have that kind of relationship with God where we're just crying and yelling all the time and to get his attention. No, he wants conversation. And so we learn how to do that. So the first filter to run it through when there's something because it can be hard to know the difference between just your intuition, you know, a thought, and a God whisper. And it takes time, you know, and you start recognizing the difference. And sometimes you can't tell the difference. Sometimes you pray about something. You're trying to ask God. The elders, when we have our elders meetings, man, we have just direction, you know, directions we need to go with the church or decisions to make. And we pray and we all go quiet. I mean, you know, I literally, okay, now we're just going to be quiet for a while and listen. And, you know, and a lot of times it's really cool. You know, after the prayer time, it's like, what'd you hear? It's like, wow, that's exactly what I heard. You know, sometimes it can even be financial decisions and we hear the exact same numbers. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. You know, it's flip of a coin, you know, this way or this way. And sometimes you just can't put things off forever and you still got to make a decision. And you go with the best decision you can. And you keep praying and you keep listening to see if he shifts the direction or turns you around or applauds because you're running in the right direction. And it's fun. And so you learn the way, the journey. So let me get going. So the first filter is real simple. Does it align with Scripture? So when I hear something from God or somebody says, hey, God spoke to me and said da-da-da-da, you know, I run it through the filter, Scripture. What is there in this is God speaks to every area of life in principles that's important. There's nothing he hasn't given us that doesn't reveal his heart. Now, he doesn't give us specific details, you know, about decisions you have to make, you know, what, you know, should you buy a car, not a car, should you take this job or not take this job, but you learn his heart and character and his truth, especially the truth that is in black and white is found in this. And so, you know, there's crazy stuff, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, man, you know, I just know it's right. I'm supposed to be in this relationship. Yeah, they're married, but man, we love each other. It's like, no, God did not say to do that. I promise you, I know for a fact he didn't say to enter into that relationship and destroy others. Or maybe, you know, it's a decision at work, and it's like, you know, well, the boss wants me to do this, and I know it's not really honest, but, you know, we got a profit to make. And it's like, no, I can factually tell you God did not agree with your boss and say to be deceptive and do that thing. So there's all these kind of situations where God speaks and we run it through this. And it's surprising how even Christians will say they're hearing God tell them or to do something when the Bible, the first filter says, no, don't go there. Don't do that. I've had to apply that not just in relationships, but in my, you know, job too and working. And it can happen to pastors. When I was an engineer, I was faced with those dilemmas. And it's, God, what do you want me to do? And I see in Scripture very clearly what he's saying. So we go first to this place. Second, does it reflect Jesus' character? What is Jesus doing right now in this moment? I like, you know, W-I-J-D better than W-W-J-D because that's past tense as if God, Jesus died, you know, and I know that's not the intent of it, but my Jesus is doing something, not what would he do? It's like, what is he doing right in this moment, and does it align up with what I know about him? And, you know, and so Jesus, sometimes, you know, people are about to crash their lives on the rocks with some crazy job change or decision. And it's like, and not meaning God doesn't do those things. He's done that in my life. But, you know, oh, man, God told me to sell all my cars and leave my job and leave my spouse and go off into missions. It's like, does that sound like something Jesus is saying you should do? Or no, he wants me to buy a lottery ticket. He wants to cash in my retirement and buy as many lottery tickets as possible because he's going to do something really cool. It's like, does that really line up with the character of God as you know him? So you got to run it through second filter is, what do I know about Jesus? What do I know about my God? Does it seem to fit his character? Tracking? Is this making sense? Okay. And man, there's things that we read in the Bible, Old and New Testament, where God does ask his people to do something that's pretty out there, but it doesn't contradict his character. That's the one thing. He might, you know, we looked at Hosea this year, and God has Hosea to marry a prostitute. I run it through the filter. Does it say, you know, anywhere that a person should never marry a prostitute? No. Does it align up with God's character? Well, I'm going to have to pray a little more on that one. That's pretty far out there. I know what mom and dad would say. That's not the voice of God, but there you go. Sometimes God does something you don't expect, but within it, within God's character, he shows in this crazy circumstance that he's going to redeem, he's going to demonstrate his deep, faithful, covenantal love to his people in that new relationship, and he used Hosea to redeem her. And so Gomer is her name. He helped redeem Gomer from slavery. Is that in God's character? Yeah. Okay, third filter. Does it seem wise? Men, I hate Christians that flush their brains. All right? God made your brain. That wasn't Satan's idea. Yes, God made your heart, but he also gave us common sense and wisdom. And so run it through the filter of wisdom. Does this make sense? Is this something, you know, one time it's like at work, it's like the coworker comes in, hey, I'm getting married. I said, hey, I didn't even know you're dating. It's like, hey, I just met him this weekend and we're getting married. And it's like, whoa, slow down. Take a little time before you rush into that. This isn't really wise. And so God gives us wisdom. Use your common sense. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. The fourth filter is, do trusted people agree? And so Proverbs 11:14, do we have that one, Deborah? I think we got that one. But it's a very common, well-quoted verse, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And so I run my own life, big stuff, through the elders. I look, matter of fact, this week we had a young man meet with the elders who just wanted to, you know, run it through the filter of what the elders think, and men and women take advantage of that. Or maybe, but they need to be trusted men or women that you have, you believe they've had enough years walking with God that they can speak wisdom into your life. We all need it, including myself. So run it through the filters. Does it align with Scripture? Does it reflect? And I kind of put them in order as I go through them. Does it reflect Jesus' character? Does it seem wise? Do trusted people agree? And the elders, you know, man, they've saved me from some missteps. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I get it right, and they're like, yeah. This is what, this sounds wise, this sounds good. Let's, you know, not just church, but I mean even in personal life. And so just, man, run it through some trusted people. So third point this morning is, once we get to that place, the heart, what is the heart that hears a whisper? And I want to give you five encouragements, because your ability to hear their spirit's voice depends on the condition of your heart. First one. First encouragement I give you is, ask God's help to hear his whisper. Sometimes it just begins, and this is one of those duh moments. I'd walked with God a long time before I even thought to actually ask him in prayer, saying, can you help me hear your whispers, your divine nudges? It never occurred to me to actually ask for it. I don't know I don't know where you're at, but it's like, wow, what if I actually pray every day for a heart that hears with greater frequency and accuracy? Every day. What if I pray for better hearing and discernment all the time? And do you know, that's when things started taking off to a deeper level, and a greater relationship with my God, is when I actually started asking for those things. I wanted the awareness and the sensitivity, and that's something that you cultivate. You're not just born as a believer with the ability to hear. And I remember when I started praying that, and actually I was already a pastor, so I didn't start praying that prayer until I was a pastor. And I'd come out of a church that, you know, this was the focus, which it needs to be, the Scriptures. But we had not ever been taught hearing God's voice. And so this was kind of a new thing for me. It's not for you, because you have a wonderful pastor who teaches you these things. Why do you laugh? So one of the first things I heard of a God whisper, my friend Matt was preaching, and the church was a church plant in a movie theater way back in Budget Cinemas. Did you know Easttown used to have a movie theater? And we used to be there. But it's gone now. And so I've been in the season of, okay, God, I want to hear your voice more. You know what I heard on Sunday morning while Matt was preaching? Leave. Are you mad at me? Why do you want me to leave? It's church. I thought we're supposed to come here. And so all I had was that whisper, leave. And so in the movie theater, you know, you have the lobby, you know, where all the popcorn and stuff is. And so I'm like, I don't, you know, I said I would obey. I you speak it, I'll obey it. And so it's like I got up and I walked out. And then in the lobby was a young man. I forgot his age, you know, around teenage, young, you know, maybe 18, 19, was standing there. And so, call him Steve. That's not his real name. And Steve, what's up? And he starts telling me, and life's rough. He's confused about a lot of things. He's confused about who he is. He's struggling and kind of depressed. And so that just led to other conversations down the road. And God wanted to meet Steve, you know, and have someone come alongside him and encourage him and help him sort through things and who he is and what he's not and breathe life into him. And it was my privilege years later when he met a wonderful Christian woman, and I got to do their marriage years later. And it was just an honor to have gone from a leave to a, now today we gather before you to celebrate this marriage. You know, it was just really cool. So you never know where a whisper of prompting is going to take you. So ask God's help to hear. Second encouragement, saturate yourself with scriptures. Man, read it every day. Memorize it. We got to be a people that comes back to memorizing scriptures. But just read it. Just read it, read it, read it. I mean, saturation means, man, I am... my brain is just full of scripture. I'm saying that's how we want to be, where we're just saturated with his word. Because you want to seek to know the one who is speaking to you in whispers. And the what he has given us to know him isn't just prayer, but primarily the scriptures itself. And many of God's promptings that are going to guide you will come from his whispers through his Holy Spirit, reminding you of the things that you have read. He uses the scriptures to speak to your heart, you know, through your head. It starts in the head, and he'll remind you of something really cool just in a moment when you need it most. And the more you have of the scriptures, the greater opportunity you have to hear his whispers. Did you know that? The more scriptures, the more whispers. I need to write that down. That's good. But get it inside you. Get it inside you. It could be a moment you need to make a decision. It may need a word of truth to combat a lie in your life. Get it in you. I'll just close this one with one of my most recent scripture promptings, whispers. So when we were going through the story, and it was on my heart to... share with you Jeremiah chapter 1 and how God called Jeremiah, how what it looked like for Jeremiah to have a calling on his life. And you can be opening to chapter 20 if you want to turn there. You don't need to. But in Jeremiah, I talked about the calling he received from God, and it's from grace, and then how God tells him, you don't need to be afraid in the things I'm going to lead you in, the whispers I'm going to give you, because my presence is with you. And then the third thing, he anoints him to live that out. Well, in my reading of Jeremiah, I came to Jeremiah 20, and verse 9 leapt out at me. I'd never noticed it before. In some reason, it went zing. You ever have that? You're reading the Bible, and something seems to kind of grab your heart a little bit. And it said, Jeremiah speaking, he says, if I say I will not mention him, talking about God, so he's saying, he's thinking, I'm not going to mention God because he's getting in trouble. Man, he's getting beat up. He's been put in stocks in prison. He's losing friends right and left, and he's thinking, this is a bum deal listening to God's whispers, right? But he says in verse 9, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in. I cannot. So even though he tries to suppress what God's speaking to his heart catches on fire, and he's got to speak it. That's really cool. But I thought, so what? So anyway, I thought, why did that capture my attention? Well, just a few days after that, and it had been put on the calendar, some of our leaders were asked to pray with a new ministry called Shelter from the Storm that started up. And they're looking, and this is a new ministry trying to mentor single mothers, homeless mothers, and trying to give them a fresh start on life with finding jobs, but it's also mentoring and finding a place to live. It's spiritual discipleship. It's all, and they were asking us to partner with them. And so their whole team came. It was really cool. Some of you were there to pray for them. And so as they're talking, one of the leaders of Shelter from the Storm, she was talking about, she has felt like she just couldn't go on with another meeting telling another person about this ministry they're trying to get going. And they're working with the city. They're trying to, work with some churches. And you know how it is. It's like God put something on her heart, and she was just tired. She was discouraged. It wasn't going as smoothly as she thought. And she was thinking, hey, we're closing. I just can't do another one of these meetings. I'm done. And guess what? I had just read this obscure verse that I didn't share with you. It wasn't part of the sermon, but it went zing. And so I opened up to Jeremiah 20, and I begin, I thought, I'm going to read verse 7 before I read verse 9, which reads, so I just felt the Spirit kind of prompting me, nudging me along, and I read to her from chapter 20, oh Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. And you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock of the day. Everyone mocks me. Jeremiah even goes on to say, why did I come out from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? He was super discouraged that the ministry wasn't going well, that people weren't receiving what he's trying to say. And in my heart, it's like, this is what this leader is feeling. And then I read verse 9. Which is, this is the verse that prompted me to turn to this chapter. And I said, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire that shut up my bones, and I am weary with withholding it in. I cannot. And then we prayed over her and strengthened her and gave and said, there is something God's deposited in your heart, and you cannot give up speaking it. He won't let it go. You need to share it with others. You need to try and speak to corporations and churches and bring them involved in this. And do you know what she said when we were done? She said, you have no idea. I just told God, you have tricked me. You tricked me, God, into this. I didn't know that, but the Holy Spirit does. And so you follow these whispers and promptings because you never know from Scripture, I mean, because one verse might lead you to read something that's exactly what. So she knew in her heart all of a sudden that she wasn't alone, that she was in good company of a Jeremiah who also felt tricked. And she needed encouragement that the Lord was still with her and that the things she felt were from him and they were going to be difficult to tell, but not to give up. That's why these whispers matter, because they become blessings in the lives of others. The third encouragement is silence your world from distracting noise. Like that. It's in quietness that you're more likely to hear the whisper of the Lord. To hear a quiet voice, sometimes you need to be quiet. You will more easily recognize his voice in a quiet place where you've reduced the ambient noise than you will, in the middle of chaos And so where is that place? You know, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am the Lord. Where is that place that you can get and be quiet? John 10, God, I think it's interesting that he uses shepherds and sheep to talk about hearing his voice. They're not even the same species. What's with that metaphor? It's because it's not natural. But the sheep come to know the shepherd's voice because they've heard it so many times. And we need to have that sense of, I want to hear him. I will not let go of him. I will put effort to understand his language. You have to get your ears tuned in to the voice of the Lord. Do you know when I listened to classical music, it was just all one big noise. You know, it was beautiful. I love classical music, by the way. I really do. I listen to it now. It's one of my first go-to places on the radio. It used to be rock and roll, but whatever. But you know what? It's not until I had a daughter who played flute that I ever heard flutes in Bach, you know, and Baroque music. And all of a sudden, when I go to a concert, first it just sounded like noise, and it's, wait, my daughter's in this concert. And I start listening, and all of a sudden I hear her flute. I got tuned in. And now I hear flute. Anytime there's a flute in a symphony, I hear the flute because my ears got tuned to flutes. It's really cool. And so just take that as a picture of, like, I got to get myself tuned in. The fourth encouragement is removing wrongdoing and moving towards righteousness. A little clunky. I didn't know else how to word it. But, you know, the conditions of our heart matters when we are talking about conversations with God. The condition of your heart matters. The Bible makes it clear in the Old and New Testament that it matters to God if we are stuck in an unhealthy pattern or sin. And I put in there Psalm 66. We're not going to go there. But in the New Testament, too, it's like God chooses not to hear if he's already spoken to your heart about something that needs to be resolved and dealt with. And instead of reading scripture for you, let me tell you a story. So I knew I was going to be preaching this, and I thought, okay, God, give me a cool whisper, you know, that I can share with them and just amaze them, you know, with how awesome I hear your nudges. And so he did. He did speak to me. And I was hoping it would be cool, but it's not what I expected. He reminded me of a situation recently that I spoke into, something that needed to be changed, and he nudged me and said, I was wrong in the way I handled it, and I need to call that person and apologize. Do you understand that you can be right about something, but unrighteous in the way you handle it? So that's my amazing story. His whisper said, go meet that person face to face and say you're sorry for the way you handle that. Oh, that's not cool, God. All right, I'll move on. Fifth, follow through on the last whisper you heard. Do you ever feel like, man, I used to hear God whisper and things went silent? And it could be, you know, you're not actively, you know, we've gone through these encouragements. It could be you're not asking anymore, or you're not saturating yourself with scripture. Your life's just filled with noise too much. You know, maybe you need to get away on a boat. You need to sit in the backyard. You need to get in a closet, whatever you need to do to where you don't hear the noise. And, oh, by the way, I'm kind of rabbit trailing. The cool thing about, as you learn to reduce ambient noise, it is possible to carry a silence in your heart when you are actually in conversations or in noisy places because you've so tuned into the whisper, it's gotten louder and you can hear God speak, but I digress. And then you remove the things that clog up your heart from hearing, but you need to follow through on the last whisper you heard. Turn back to John 10, and I'm closing with this verse, John 10, 27. It's more about the shepherd-sheep analogy. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So some old translations might call it, you know, you heed his voice. I mean, you hear his voice, and you heed his voice. You listen, and you obey it. And so sometimes when things have gone silent in my life, I got to take myself through the encouragements Have I stopped working on these? And the last one is, even if I get to the place where I don't need to go repent of something and say I'm sorry, well, no, there is nothing. My heart's pure. I'm praying. I'm reading scripture. I'm in a quiet place. And I have to ask myself, well, did he already whisper something and I just haven't followed through? Is there one more thing that he's saying? And he's going, well, I'm not giving you more. You haven't obeyed the last one. So ask yourself, if you're saying, well, I don't hear God, what's the last one he's given you? And there are times when God does go silent for another reason. He's testing your faith. So you may be right in that whisper, following it through. And one of the best examples I've ever heard or read was Mother Teresa. You know, she started in Calcutta the ministry to sick and hungry and leopards and people with AIDS, and she started a place in which they could be loved and ministered to and taken care of. But do you know, God went silent on her. You know how long? It was an anguishing 10 years. She did not hear any more whispers or promptings from God. And it was ripping her apart, if you read her story. It was, and she just started questioning things, and she had to wrestle with this. But she desperately wanted to hear another thing from God. Is this right? Am I in the right thing? Have I made a mistake? Why have you gone? Can you imagine? Do you know what she said? This is an amazing response to that silence of a decade. She said, quote, "Even though I don't feel his presence, I will seek him. I will seek to love him as he has never been loved. I will love him as he has never been loved in the silence." It's beautiful. Invite the worship team to come up. Man, I got a list of encouragements and stories to give you, but you know, instead of telling you I'll leave you with my personal sorry one, and I'll give you a cool one. When I was on vacation, and by the way, amazing things get started. You know, Chuck Colson Prison Fellowship Ministry was started by a whisper. He was President Nixon's hatchet man, got thrown in prison, and came to know the prisoners, and afterward, when he was thinking he'd go back into his law practice, God whispered, and he started Prison Fellowship Ministry. But bring it down to earth. So a couple weeks ago, I was visiting with my daughter, Selena, and husband, Graham. And Graham's mom, we all went to brunch after after church. And Deborah we're just catching up, talking. She started sharing about how through her church, they don't run a ministry to the poor, but on their website, places you can get plugged in and try and be a blessing, as we're trying to be as a church. And one of those ministries is a ministry that provides showers and clothes for homeless women. And so she thought, well, I'll get involved in that. And so she gets involved with that, and she helps out, you know, once a week with this, because these are women that wouldn't normally get to have a shower or nice clothes. And God whispered to her, ask what they do for underwear. So she goes over to one of the women, homeless women. She says, you know, I see you get all these cool clothes and stuff, but what do you do for underwear? Well, we have to buy them with what little money we have. Because there's no underwear available. And you certainly don't give somebody your used. That would be disgusting. And so all of a sudden, in her heart, it's like that prompting led her to realize these women don't have money, and if they get any, they got to buy underwear. So she wanted to start a ministry called Support for the Girls, but she also found out that name was taken, so it's Help for the Girls. See, some of you are laughing because you know why that's funny. And so she's starting this ministry, and it's just, we're talking just weeks into it. All of a sudden, a check comes for $1,000. And then a secular marketing company gets in touch with her. She interviews with them, and they want to help her create the marketing and a website. She's getting people starting to ask her, how do I get involved? This just was like a couple, it's like she hasn't even had time. She can't even catch her breath. It's like, whoomp, because God was all over this. And so she's starting something that's going to provide needed garments for homeless women that can't afford them. That's what it looks like to be a blessing. So let me read in closing. Bow your heads, close your eyes. And another verse that really has leapt out to me, and I want to work on memorizing this one. Isaiah chapter 30 says this in verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. You know, if you have someone walking behind you and they're leading you, you have to listen. This is the way, walk in it. And the Lord loves you too much to let you stray to the right or the left and get off course. So lay up in your heart right now, and I invite you just to make this your own prayer as I pray through this encouragement, and ask yourself where you're at in this. So Father in heaven, we ask you increase our capacity to hear your voice and our ability to discern it. Give us ears. Help us hear your whispers in life. And Lord, let us long to meet with you in the scriptures. Give us understanding as we read them by the power of your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, prompt us and use those words to give us truth, to bring light in the darkness, to guide us in our steps. And Lord, give us the conviction that we are going to create silence in our world, a place where the noise and the voices don't distract us, a moment to say that you are more treasured in our hearts than all the other activities we can do. And we're going to do it by being still and knowing you are God. And Lord, forgive us for our trespasses. And let us forgive those who trespass against us. Remove the wrongdoing. Remove that bad habits that are keeping us and clogging up our heart in our ears to hearing what you want to say. And that is the most important whisper on your heart, your mouth right now, because you love us too much to leave us in the bad places. And you want to turn us around and lead us to salvation.
Amen.
Let us be quick to repent and our hearts be pure so that we can hear you. And finally, Lord, let us follow through on the things you say. Because we know that if you give us a whisper, a nudge, a prompting, and we don't do it, you'll talk to someone else that listens. And we want to be that person. We want the privilege of hearing and obeying the things you have for us. Let us listen, Jesus, to you as our shepherd, as you lead us into green pastures and exciting journeys. And let us know that, it's risky. It will almost certainly cost us, but there's nothing better than following your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So please stand and we'll close with some worship and then I'll dismiss us.